This is Philosophy versus Improv, where two sages try to teach each other a thing or two, and maybe you, the audience, get something out of it as well.
Hello, welcome to Philosophy versus Improv. I am Mary Hines, bringing the improvisational awesome, and I'm joined by my co-host.
This is Mark Linsenmeyer, bringing in the philosophy in tasteful, small doses, and we are joined by a very special guest.
Hello, everybody. I'm BJ Lang. I'm an actor, comedian, TV host, and a cat dad, and I'm honored to be here. Excited for improv and philosophy. Together, it is the peanut butter and jelly that feeds my soul.
Is Halen behind you on the bed, or is he on the futon?
He is on the futon.
Oh, is it something fun? And also for our listeners, BJ and I are neighbors, and we know each other from Chicago because we are both Second City faculty members. And when I moved out here, so there's like a house in the front and then like four single units in the back. And I was subletting one of those single units, which is like where BJ is back there. And then the second floor of the apartment I'm in now became available, and BJ went, "Hey, Mary, you got to get over there. That's a really nice apartment. And the landlady's showing it right now. And so you got to get over there." And I literally went over there with a check, like ready to love it. And my kitchen is parallel to his apartment. So we do, to me, it's a fun game. I have yet for BJ to tell me it's not a fun game, getting some nods, where when we see each other, we holler out the window and literally go, "Holler," like yell,
"Holler."
And it's the most fun, like nosy neighbor situation. Like when he goes to Costco,
it's like Melrose Place.
It really is. Yeah. Like when he goes to Costco, he's like, "Hit me up. What do you need?" Like, it's the best.
All right. But Mary, you're not in your home right now, so we can't
I can't prove it.
You can't hear the very faint echo. You know, I could digitally add what sounds like the faint echo of you on his track and vice versa. That's usually the thing we try to remove, but
we also have a character dynamic between us that we actually did at a two-prov improv show on.
What? Hey, Lair, what are you doing in the little backs? What are you doing here, Lair?
Well, you know, I'm on the thing of the internet, Marge, I don't know if you know this or not, but this is how the people are talking to each other. And I get you remember when we used to watch the Hollywood Squares? It's kind of like that, babe.
Oh, I'm a little concerned, though, that you're on top of the internet. That can't be good. You don't have to hatch it like an egg. It's in the air, honey.
Well, you know, I got to get the most that I possibly can from the internet. So, you know, so me, Marge, I put the money where my mouth is and pay for the premium.
I sure do. That's why I love you.
So we have these, like, they're like this, like, charismatic aunt and uncle kind of. And we did improv as these characters who had never done improv before. And they were filling in for their niece or something who couldn't make it to the show. Mm-hmm. And everybody loved it. And we need to do more of that, BJ, because that was fantastic.
We totally do. Mark, you brought up a good point talking about that Mary is not currently at her home, but that she is a hustler and following the artist's life, and talk about philosophy and people following their dreams and how it manifests into the universe. She's, what are you, you're watching a dog or a cat? You watched pigs at one point? What are you doing, Mary?
2 years ago, I was doing sales in Beverly Hills because I like to do jobs based on experiences, right? Like I was a waitress at Bubba Gump Shrimp Company in Times Square. I was a paralegal in New York. Like I was a manager at FAO Shores, and I was doing sales in Beverly Hills. And I was like, this absolutely sucks. As much as I love being talked down to, like I'm dumber than dirt, it's not really my favorite thing. So I started a pet sitting business because I'm so good with animals and I love it. And now I'm like 2 years in and I have to turn down at least one person a day for like, so I'm like a luxury pet nanny essentially. And right now I'm with my next client in Sherman Oaks, a cute little snossage of a dog named Johnny.
And is it Sherman Oaks? Is that the way they talk in that area?
Sherman Oaks. No, it's just the way I talk in this area. Sherman Oaks. Thanks, BJ. I appreciate you.
Sure.
Did you grow up in the Midwest then?
Yeah, I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri. And my summers were in Texas with my mom. So I grew up all around the different parts of Texas as well. But my school years were in St. Louis. Midwesterner at heart.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, those characters you were doing seemed like you was Mary had a very good Chicago, you know, that she spent time in Chicago, but I know she's not actually a Midwesterner. And so maybe he's a little, you know, foreign to, grew up in the Chicago area and now I'm in Wisconsin and spent a lot of time in Minnesota.
Minnesota, oh yeah.
This is giving more Wisconsin, Dakota, if you will. It's giving to me, it's like the cheese and the boat show kind of, you know. It's just one of my favorite character voices to do.
And if you can, if you're the best at it, you'd be the far goat.
Oh, you.
Nice.
Lair, do you hear how he's, do you hear how this man is flirting with me? You gonna stand for that? Are you gonna defend your lady or what?
Well, you just wait just a second there talking to my wife about cheese and boats and stuff. You could talk to me about that.
I'll show you some Great Lakes. Okay.
Are there consistent migratory patterns? Like I spent a little time
after
I went to school in Michigan. Then I spent a little time in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I noticed several people also from the Ann Arbor area in Fairbanks. And like, why would this be a pattern? It could just be that, well, any sort of university town is going to have connection to any other university. But I think there are obviously LA, there's a purpose and there's a particular, as you said, a particular kind of person.
You're is there a purpose? Dreams. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, so are you, do you notice like, for instance, more people from Chicago in LA that you would expect sort of per capita because that's a special funnel.
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess just because St. Louis has been for me like kind of my anchor, I tend to find a lot more St. Louis people than probably normal. But I also have a lot of different outlets in that regard. And as far as Chicago is concerned and or people that are affiliated either by going to school there or being in the comedy world, you're absolutely right, Mark. I mean, that's a lot of people are coming out from there. So it kind of makes sense that there's more. Oh, I'm coming out.
And it's true what you're saying, though, Mark. Like the Chicago people, I know we find each other out here. And then whenever we see each other, we're just like, oh, hi. Oh, gosh. I'm so happy you're here.
Migratory.
And in migratory patterns, that is interesting because I went to college, Butler University in Indianapolis. It's funny. I was just looking for the best kind of university for me for the things that I wanted to study. And it just so happened to be Butler in Indianapolis. And I really like had no desire to be in the Midwest. It just like happened that way. Sorry, Midwest friends. Love ya.
This should be a good scene initiation, but I brain fuzzled for a second. Being stuck at a school that you didn't decide, but your parents made you go to it.
That's a thing. I would imagine that's like,
certainly you will be a doctor or a lawyer. You will be, even though yeah. Like inside your heart is broken.
I mean, I don't want to be a doctor nor a lawyer. I have other passions, Mom.
Billy, your mother and I are dedicated to you being successful. Look at me.
Look at him.
You don't just open up a dry cleaning company, you know, with no heart and no soul. And your mother has supported me in this and you in doing these endeavors. So you're going to be going to school there, Billy.
Mm-hmm. You know, Fargo, it scares me from the movies. There's all that shooting. You're sure that's going to be safe to go all the way up there?
It builds character. And your father and I think it's high time for you to have some real world practical experiences, and that means regret, dismay, and some shame and guilt.
Absolutely. You know, Billy, it's high time that you man up and you prepare yourself for the inevitable. Life is not about being happy.
It's not.
It's about the struggle. It's about putting in the work. And then maybe if everything else works out, then maybe you'll be able to open a dry cleaning business of your own. And I'm not just handing this over to you just because you're my son either.
I have been working. Let me try the accent. Oh, I'm up in Fargo. I'm one of these local people. Does that work? Are they going to accept me?
Just focus on being a doctor, honey.
Oh, I see you got something there wrong with your knee. Is that how they do it in Fargo?
I think he is almost ready.
I'm so proud.
This is a rather emotional time. Son,
pass the tissues, please.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Son.
The Kleenex.
Yep, there you go. Son, I I've been holding on to this. Your grandfather gave me this tie. If you would be so kind as to put it on, son.
The Looney Tunes tie.
I feel like I could go up in Fargo now and be around some shootings and with some polar bears or whatever they got going on up there. And then I could come out knowing all the medical things because I seen all the shootings and I had to patch up some folks. And I, you know, it's like Northern Exposure. That's a show that's way too before my time, but, you know.
So I'm glad you mentioned Northern Exposure because I make that reference all the time, Mark, and that's how I know that I'm officially getting older. Like, I'll make references in class about that, and students will be like, what? And I'm like, have you guys seen the TV show Wings? You know. So I'm getting there, man. I'm getting there.
Cutting edge serial TV. Now every show is like that. Anyway.
I guess this is both to like BJ and Mark. Like when you are teaching and you offer a reference point that is not relevant to your students, what do you do?
Try to find some sort of other analogous, you know, something that might fit better. Or if not, then I just have to water it down and break it down and explain, okay, here's what I'm trying to reference. Here's what this style is.
Right, this is the why. This is, yeah. You just made it a lot harder for me. This is all happening internally. Oh, you just made it harder for me. My heart is actually breaking live, but my smile remains on my face, and I will find another way to communicate this.
Yeah, that happens. Mary, what's the show that you grew up watching that you feel is old now? Like
it, Clarissa Explains It All.
Yeah. I want to be the Sam to come in your window.
Oh my gosh.
Wasn't that right? Was that Sam? Was that the
that
right
was
name?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right.
Wow.
Clarissa Explains It All. Are You Afraid of the Dark? I'm clearly dropping a lot of SNICK right now. I was big into Nickelodeon. Mark, what do you do when a reference does not land?
Well, as a podcaster, I don't have to do anything. We just move on.
Like,
that's the only way that I teach at this point.
Like when you're teaching, yeah.
I mean,
okay,
I can
great.
Imagine this. What BJ was describing, the Mr. Garrison strategy to throw in another, yep. Which is to just, they would have these scenes in South Park of just, he's just like laying out, okay, there's the Targaryens and there's the, like, explaining TV show. Just like, you know what? What we were going to talk about is important. I think, let me tell you about Alice. And this is so Flo, she says, kiss my grit. It's, you know, it's the working man. To just be able to, that happens on this show.
In those moments, while my heart is breaking live, because I really don't like when, so say for example, if I make like a Star Wars reference and someone is like, I've never seen Star Wars. I have such a distaste for when someone has this reaction. What? You've never seen Star Wars? Like, okay, that makes me feel like shit. Like that makes me feel terrible. So instead, like then resetting that scene and I'm like referencing Star Wars and someone's like, I've never seen Star Wars. I endeavor for my reaction to be the following. Oh, wow. Well, you have something really awesome to look forward to. Or like what I say to students is I have a moment, like if I mention like any of one of my comedic inspirations, like Carol Burnett, Madeline Kahn, etc., and they just give me blank faces, I go, you have homework. And I just end it there. Like, if you want to know more about the art form that you're studying, you get to know the roots of the tree.
All right. So you bring up a good point. First of all, Mary, I, like yourself, I have seen bits and pieces of Star Wars, but I have never watched fully through. I could not tell you.
What? You've never seen Star Wars?
If in a scene or something like that, right? Like, how do you modify? Like, I'm not going to call someone out because they don't. I mean, of course, you're going to get suggestions and be in situations that you personally aren't familiar with. So how do you take it and go? I can't believe someone would like really be angry or pissed off that you really haven't seen. See, even your dog is, even the dog that you are watching is mad that you have not seen Star Wars. That is not good.
Johnny, settle down.
I feel like when somebody doesn't get the reference, you know, it depends what, again, you were saying, BJ, oh, just to think of another reference, think of another way to explain the same point. And usually it is by analogy, But these analogies, right, these interpersonal things, you know, if you're going to explain a love triangle or something like that, and you'd probably throw out, actually, none are occurring to me right now. So I guess this is a general enough concept that we run into in real life that we don't need to make a literary reference to. But discovering the Oedipus thing of you are in battle with somebody, and then you realize, you know what, I'm your father. Like,
yeah.
You could talk about Oedipus, you could talk about Star Wars, you could talk about any number of things.
I would hope that someone would at least get the, I am your father. You know, even if they've not watched it, they at least have heard it enough that you know it's like in the ether.
And what is the lesson from that? I mean, the overall lesson should be something like, our values, they may seem like they're ready, delivered by nature. Here's who you should love, here's who you should hate. But then when you learn more about the real world, you learn that it is gray. Maybe the thing that was your enemy, you realize, actually has some direct relation to you. It has some, you know, that there's something about yourself that you should have discovered. And then you would have a more mature moral vocabulary.
Deep, Mark. Very deep.
I mean, is that, I don't know that Luke actually discovered that all the way. He was just like, well, if you're my father, you can change. Not I should change and realize, oh shit, maybe this is misconstrued, this rebellion.
Wow.
BJ, I'm curious to segue us into a different topic point. What are you working on right now that really lights you up?
Oof.
Or something that makes you mad? Like, what is something you're passionately applying yourself to?
Sure. Well, there's two things that popped in my head when you asked the question. And the first thing is the work that I've been doing since 2018, teaching improv for the Air Force's Wounded Warrior Program. So not to be confused with the Wounded Warrior Project. This is a DOD program. And I am the applied improv comedy resiliency coach for them, where I teach basically life skills and resiliency skills through play. So non-performance based improvisation. So using a lot of Spolin techniques, theory, and then just games to kind of get them out of their head and focus on some positivity. And it's so rewarding. I wish I could do it more. Unfortunately, I only go out every few months to go out to do that, but I'll be leaving next week to go to San Antonio to do that. And then right now, as we are recording this, we just wrapped up the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge Week. So disabilityfilmchallenge.com, it's sponsored by Easter Seals. It is an awards qualifiable film challenge where somebody in front of or behind the camera has to have a disability. That could be open to anything. So it could be one of the writers, a director, the DP.
What about producer. Being an empathic human at the rise of fascism? Does that count?
I think hopefully at least half of America is in that position for sure right now.
Not to make fun of disability.
Sure. Of course.
To add fun to distress.
I definitely have something I could say, but for the sake of that we are recording, I'm not going to say it. But yeah.
I love that for you.
For sure. Disability Film Challenge is awesome. I just want to throw that out there, and I'm in two projects this year. So
super cool.
Yeah.
This podcast is still going a year from now or whatnot, when it would be tasteful to bring you back, I would love to introduce you to Brian Wilson, who was the host of another podcast in our network that was sort of under our aegis, Combat and Classics. So he was involved in a program to talk about philosophy and other classics texts, ancient Greece, ancient Rome, with ex-military folks or current military
Amazing.
Folks. So I'm wondering what it is. I mean, I guess for yet a different podcast, my pop culture podcast, I've been watching Peaky Blinders, which is just all about what
it's so good. I love
people
it.
With PTSD from World War One, when they didn't have an outlet like improv comedy, like philosophy, like, and they just become criminals and are very messed up. And so it seems like having these services, whether you're talking about the military or you're talking about prisoners, I've run into somebody like, oh yeah, I go to go to prison. And are there
Sing Sing.
Improv philosophy classes in prison?
Mm-hmm.
Improv comedy, not improv philosophy. That's not a thing.
Yeah. Hey, we're doing it right now.
As I'm teaching improv, I'm always folding in the philosophy of it. And in doing this podcast with Mark, I've realized that I have a very philosophical approach to the work, because I feel like it's really important to teach every different spoke of the wheel that leads to the hub.
I agree. I think one of the issues that I see from a lot of students who come into my class who have taken classes elsewhere is that they don't understand why we do the things that we do, not just to get the objective accomplished. You know, like, what is it in the curriculum that we're trying to get them to understand, you know, certain scenic elements or whatever, but how can that help them not only as a performer, but as a human as well? Like, I always try and focus on that too, so they can see a deeper understanding to why we do the things.
BJ, let me know if you've noticed the same, but I've found that it is important to include some of the theory and the philosophy behind it so as to earn their trust so that they can fully surrender to the process and buy into the fact that, okay, now you're going to speak in emotional gibberish and you're going to demonstrate how to put on makeup. And I can see in people's eyes, I can see that I'm like, losing them because they're pushing me away to like, that's crazy, that's weird. So I feel like the philosophical aspect establishes credibility. I'd be like, trust me here. Like if it's a 7-session class and like, especially in class 1 and 2, like I got to get you to buy in real quick.
Totally.
I got to get you to trust the process and know that. And then now I'm teaching in a Second City class right now and it's week 5 of 7. And at this point, like they've totally bought in and they trust and surrender to the process. And like whatever I have them do, they know that it is for the higher good of like, look how much you've grown in the last 5 weeks.
Totally. The first thing that stands out to me, and this is for anyone who teaches, no matter what you teach, but if you're an educator or an instructor of some sort, creating a safe space is so important. That's exactly what you're saying there, Mary, making sure that they feel comfortable with you. And that to me ties into the Del Close quote of fall, then learn how to land on the way down. But how am I going to get you to believe that your team is going to have your back and also myself as the teacher or the director, if you're not willing to go up to the edge and jump off? Like I got to get you up on the roof first. So you got to trust me. And then we build that safety net out of each other with the trust. So important.
Mr. Director, why do you have us up on the roof here? What are you trying to teach us today?
I thought today was the class when we're going to work with our scene partner and do the scene homework that you gave us.
I'm definitely going to do that. Okay. We're going to get to that. But first I have to have you to trust me. And the only way that you're going to trust me is if everyone can take off your shoes and socks and get up on the ledge. So, Ted, if you can get up on the ledge, and Liz, if you can get over there on the ledge, thank you. Let me know when you're set.
I don't feel comfortable. Okay. Maybe we could do our scene.
Yeah, I don't feel safe.
Is this like a test that we're supposed to say, yes, and...
Wait, Tad, he's the best acting coach in San Bernardino. Like, I mean, look at his method right now. Like, he's got his hands in the gutters. He's ripping out leaves. That's gotta be like some kind of like a...
Hey, students, are you both set?
I don't know.
Here we go. San Bernardino, are you ready for your action here? This is a two-person scene.
I'm on the ledge. It seems like a long way. Can we hold...
That's really far.
...something?
Listen, 40, there's no difference between 1 foot and the 40 stories that we are here on top of this building. There's no difference.
Okay.
There's like...
Tat, do we just want to go ahead and start the scene?
Maybe hold my hand? I mean, just...
Yeah, okay.
So
you're so sweaty.
If we fall off, together.
Why are you so sweaty?
I mean, it's quite a long way down. And plus, I really want to impress the professor here, so... Oh, okay.
I know, I do too.
Okay, you gotta have trust in me, okay? So go ahead and hold hands. I want you to think about how you feel
so
in this
sweaty
moment.
And
pay no attention to me poking you with this broomstick so that you keep your balance on the edge here. This is just to give you extra motivation.
Oh God.
I don't have an opening line. Do you have an opening
my opening line.
I don't want to fall.
Bernard, I didn't know that you would be here this evening.
Great.
I'm not. Yes, I am, and I am over
Gosh,
there.
Gosh, let go of my hand.
Why does your sweat smell like hot dogs? I can't be on the ledge. I'm sorry. I don't trust the process.
I'm sorry.
Was this a test?
Listen, you've got past level one. It's now time for level two.
Oh, I did?
You both got past it. I'm not saying you did well. I'm just saying you got past it.
Yeah, I didn't even respond. I'm sorry, Liz, I didn't pick up on your opening line. That was a great character you were
There was starting. A little was bit just... of hesitation there, Ted. I did feel that.
I was just terrified. Yeah.
Hey, you can't be focused.
I just got pooped on. Look at that. Ew.
Pigeons could Why be part... The pigeons are part of, this is part of the process, as you said.
You got to take process. That crumb that the pigeon has given you and treat it like a little treasure to react to.
Wow.
You know, they say pigeons are like the smartest bird.
And that's the end of the scene. I feel like that was.
That was totally a transition.
I felt the shift. Yeah. Pigeons are very smart and humans really messed them up. We're like, we treasure you. You're such a beautiful, sacred bird, and you will deliver our messages. And then we domesticated them, mm-hmm. and now treat them like
they're the sky. Yeah, like sky rats.
It's so awful.
Did you see? Okay, now Mark, I know that you don't know me that well yet, and we already talked about how we are all aging and the things that we're seeing in our lives by referencing
I'm
old
aging
shows
backwards.
Okay, I could tell. Happy seventh.
My birthday's Monday and I'm aging backwards. Thank you.
Happy seventh.
Okay, Ms. Button.
Right.
When you start displaying infantile characteristics, you're off the show.
I love that movie, by the way. It's one of my favorite movies. But see, also
you've never seen Benjamin Button, Mary?
There
what?
We go. No. I have seen Benjamin
Button.
I wanted to
invoke that.
Okay. I was going to say, I was like, wait a second. But you brought that bit back. As well done.
Good job, Mark.
Sorry, BJ. Go ahead. No, we had to take a moment for the bit.
Of course. Always for the bit. But I have reached an age where I can tell like I'm doing old man shit. And let me explain.
What's old man shit?
Mary, you know this because when you look out your window, you see it now. And I have been sharing moments. I bought a bird feeder with a camera on it. And I get excited when there's birds and hummingbirds on it.
And he sends videos to me of like,
we got some new friends today.
Yeah.
Squirrels are back.
I mean, there's a reason why I like it because it kind of reminds me of home, but also trying to get a little bit more nature in like this urban sprawl that we live in here in Los Angeles.
I think it's really adorable. I love that this is how your old man is manifesting. Your old manifesting.
Oh, my
You're welcome.
God. Old manifesting. Ooh.
You've opened kind of a Pandora's box here with this this bird camera thing. I had a whole discussion with my wife about this. Of course, if I received this as a gift, I would love it and I would use it.
Sure.
But we have a bird feeder right like 3 feet outside, not with the camera.
No, you got the old fashioned.
You got it.
I'm just wondering what is the difference between like I like being it, doing my dishes and looking, and there are the birds, and we can watch them, and maybe turkeys, other things in the yard. But if it's on a camera, is it really that different than just like pulling up a YouTube video of somebody else's camera?
Yes, because you're not doing dishes all the time. So how are you going to know when a mother sparrow is at your bird feeder?
So hungry. It's been Wait.
Hey, come in here. Come in here. Look at this bird.
Look at this bird.
Billy, look at this bird.
I'm looking at the bird. What is this bird supposed to do? I don't care.
Oh, my God. The bird is aware. It looks like the bird is aware.
Are you watching me?
I don't understand bird talk. I don't know what this bird is trying
All
to tell
All they hear
us.
Is...
Now it seems like it's narrating about itself, so I don't understand that either.
Here, go to the other side of the birdhouse and look in. I'm going to peep in this window.
Being a bird, having a bath.
Oh, that bird is taking a shower.
Having a bath.
Oh, I feel dirty watching this bird.
Oh, no, I didn't need to see that. That bird is pooping.
Taking a shit and having a bath. Pooping in the bath. having a shower in my poop.
Who
shower.
Put a toilet in this birdhouse?
I mean, I thought it's poop Happy Father's Day. I put a toilet in the birdhouse for you. I just thought you would appreciate that.
And sing. That is so hilarious.
Here's what's wild is I didn't say this, but I was hoping that somebody would join me as a bird. I was hoping it would be like two birds and a human, but I didn't say that. So How are you supposed to know that? And this is something Mark and I have talked about in the past. Like if you don't express, like, cause you don't want to be like, I am a bird and you are my bird friend. Mm-hmm. So like trying to do it in a more organic way, but then when what you thought was going to happen doesn't happen because I didn't make the move to be able to establish that, well, then I have to surrender to whatever you endow me to. And in that scene, I was just like failing all over the place. But I was like, okay, I'm just going to double down on whatever the frick is happening.
I don't see it as a failure. Like you had this idea that you had hoped that would happen, but like you said, unless you fully initiate or say something to make it obvious that that's what you want or what your concept is, then like take that Zen gift of what we, you know, father and son then becoming the peeping toms, I guess, of staring at
which
a birdhouse,
which ended up being really lovely. Right, that like that was just as great of an option of father and son watching a bird in the bath and then poop, and then it just escalated and went to crazy town is just as good as two birds being like, you watching me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mark, what's your take?
So people watching us, if you're watching the YouTube, which you should watch the YouTube, cause why not? Because
it's,
you get to
fun.
See our
watching
faces.
It is really fun.
That BJ had a nice background, and somewhere during that last scene, he had to wrestle it to the ground. And I'm tempted to do the same thing with my green screen. Just to show you, this very morning, I hear there's a window well behind me. I'm in a basement. Mm-hmm. There's a window well behind me, and I hear thump, 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 thump. And on the window well, on the plastic cover of the window well, water has built up, and there is a bird having a little bath 7 feet from my head.
Right out the window.
Right out the window. This has never happened.
Did you have a camera on it?
I wished I had to call and tell my wife about it, but I did not. Was not quick enough to film it.
Well, if you had the feeder with the camera, then we wouldn't have this problem, and we wouldn't be where we are, would we?
I mean, I would definitely put the toilet. What about? Can you use your bird feeder? Okay, I don't want to go this direction. That's just the toilet camera idea.
Yeah,
that's a different thing. But to the birds,
yeah,
I think we've shown that
what
you're being
like,
doing,
to the bird,
BJ, is immoral. That the birds do care that you're spying on them and their private business.
Have you guys seen The Birds Aren't Real stuff?
Tell me more.
I'm not even joking.
That birds are government drones?
Yes.
But tell me more. I knew what you meant, but I was really hoping that that's not what you meant.
I know, because it's
birds aren't real.
Nuts. Which is the website, I believe. It's been a while. There used to be a bunch of stuff here, especially around Hollywood. Like there were billboards and there was this guy who used to drive a van around. I was like, is this a joke? Like it's supposed to like to get attention, but it's
because
a joke.
It seems like it would be like a gimmick that a company would do.
Correct. But you know, I mean, the more I looked into it, they were kind of serious.
When you say that, this is where my improv brain goes, because like that makes me think of blank. And the blank that it makes me think of is like with this whole like us going back to the moon. And I personally find it really exciting and empowering. I've seen a lot of stuff of like flat earthers getting schooled by like being shown pictures of the earth and like the curvature of the earth and like being, and or like the photos that they're getting from being out in space and be like, look, it is not flat. How could you believe that the earth is flat?
I don't get it. Mark, philosophy. What's up here?
Type. We're on the forum together. We're in different places. We're on the forum together. That's me typing that. I always start every tweet with that. If you want to see whether birds really are real or not, you got to look at their migratory patterns. If there's a concentrated number of Chicago birds that go to LA, that means they're pursuing their dreams. That wouldn't be a government thing. That's a natural organic bird thing. Send.
I feel like someone's watching me. I don't know. I think it's safe to go to the bathroom because I feel like there's somebody watching.
If I was a bird, I would open up a dry cleaning business.
Type, responding to your tweet. you should totally open up a dry cleaning business because we need more of those, not like those damn college educated birds that feel like they have to be lawyers and doctors. Send.
Yeah. Some type. Sometimes I just want to like get up on a roof and see something from a different point of view. I feel like if I stay on the ground, I'm not going to get any ground. Send.
Just want to be an actor, okay? I want to get out of San Bernardino, okay? I want to put on my father's tie and follow my dreams. Enter.
Type. Does anyone else just feel like a Looney Tune sometimes? Send.
Type. I feel like you guys have both identified yourself as birds by your talk. Send.
Peck. I am a bird. Peck.
All right, then you broke the internet. You broke the internet. So there
for
you
the
go.
People,
I broke it. Wow. Okay. Go ahead, BJ.
Please let me share with you my favorite moment right there, which this is why you need to watch this podcast and not just listen to it.
Mary went
full bird mode, and I saw you typing, but then all of a sudden I saw your shoulders doing this, and I saw your head start moving in and out, and as you were typing, as you were a bird.
No, watching this is gold, because you really get to see how we flex in and out of characters. You get to see me having to hurdle myself away from my microphone because I have a supersonic laugh. So it's really fun and engaging, and I forgot what I wanted to say. Oh, beautiful so this wrap-up. Is something, Mark, this is, yeah, Mark, this is something that we don't try to force it, but we do, like, you know, like when you're, the image that comes to mind is horseback riding, you know, you're just like steering, you're endeavoring to steer the scene in some forms of improvisation towards like tying up all the bows, right? Like tying up all the loose ends together. And so like, it's not about trying to be funny. Like it's not about like improv comedy per se, but in this moment, it is about the comedy where we do get to bring back all the little bits and tie everything together. And it just like swirls us up in this tornado and this beautiful momentum. And BJ and I are such experienced improvisers that we have time and timing in our DNA. And we are aware that it's about like to be like the end of this recording. So it was time to do that swirly tornado of tying everything together and like ending on a really strong out where it's like, it's not going to get any better than this.
I just want to point out, Mary, that you mentioned horseback riding, and I have not seen City Slickers, so I didn't get the reference.
What?
You haven't seen City Slickers? Oh, what a gift. See? That's such a gift.
I was just glad that, Mary, you ended up being a bird at the end of that scene, because the way that you started with, I think someone is watching me. Did you say, I think somebody's watching me while I go to the bathroom? Maybe that's just what I was reading my previous toilet cam.
I don't
think
I said the bathroom part.
I heard toilet. And then I saw you went, so, and I heard the, so that's.
I just mean in this scene, when she was started typing, I thought she was still on that. And then I didn't want to be the somehow at a computer watching a screen of you.
Okay, but here's what's great about this, and this is something I've been working on with my students right now, who have a reticence to play characters that could be problematic or scenarios that they could be judged, like only feathers, or scenarios that they could be judged by. And I've really had to drive home that like you, like Mark is safe, like Mark's credibility is not in question. At least right now. But
I mean, to you guys, maybe, to the audience, certainly.
You are not Mark. You are a character. You are a variation of yourself. Mm-hmm. So you are safe to take a risk, because it isn't Mark's credibility that is up for question. You're diving into another character point of view.
I mean, I don't know. I think the internet has blown up the use versus mention distinction. Have we talked about this before?
No.
Just, please, no,
just
go
that,
on.
You know.
Yeah, we're like.
If you want to talk about a particular racial slur, and you use that racial slur to talk about it, even if you are condemning the use of that racial slur, you have still used the racial slur.
Yeah,
and so the internet according to internet law,
wish you could see you have my stinky face.
You have broken. Yeah. You have broken the. So all that subtle humor of we're doing something offensive to make fun of people that do that offensive thing, not because we want to do that offensive thing.
Yeah.
All that satire is lost to the one-dimensional tweet-bound world. And I will continue to say tweet, even though it's x.com or wherever else
Reddit you
are typing. Yeah.
No, that is tricky.
Indeed.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. But it's, I feel like improvisation, it's kind of like English grammar in a way of like, always do this unless it's a this. Mm-hmm. So you get the rules, but then it becomes that like Picasso quote that I'm going to misquote. You learn the rules to be able to
break them
and shape them. Yeah, that's not the quote at all. But I had a 3 a.m. call time yesterday for a production gig and my brain is mustard. But yeah, like you learn the rules to then be able to break them and apply the artistry of yourself within the art form. But it's tricky because they're not absolutes.
Mm-hmm.
A Submersive's Guide to Improvisation by David Rozowski. He's one of my mentors and an amazing guy.
I was holding, for those that are listening, I was holding up Rozowski's book. And I mean, this is something I had heard early on in my improv career, that all of the rules can be broken eventually, but for the sake of education, we keep a certain, you know, you keep the kitchen sink rules active.
Kitchen sink rules. I like that.
Kitchen sink rules. Yeah. Circle back with me. I'll figure it out when we post this up, but that came from somewhere. The kitchen sink rules of improv. It has something to do with my hometown, but anyway.
I felt terrible about totally botching my honoring the Picasso quote, so I had to look it up.
What was it?
Learn the rules like a pro so you can break them like an artist.
Oh, wow. Well, okay, which ties back into what Mark said earlier about satire and how do you ride that line to still be able to, like, if you pushed it, you would definitely be like super inappropriate, but how do you push the envelope so that people could see it and still be able to talk about what's messed up about that thing, which, you know, it's always a sliding scale and it's, you know, you got to have your pulse on, you know, what is the comedy? What is the artistry that's there? What's the educational benefit of doing this versus just straight up shock humor because you think it's funny or whatever?
Well, I tend to just use the humor of Jack Benny, you know, my generation. I don't know. You guys maybe are a little young, 108 years old.
Who's Jack
having,
Benny?
Having spent my time.
I was waiting for the bit and no one gave it to me. That was so disappointing.
I was getting ready to do an intro for like somebody from vaudeville.
I do know who Jack Benny is. I was just waiting for someone to yell at me that I didn't know who he was.
But you don't know who Jack Benny is?
Oh, thank you. That felt really good.
Thank you, Maren.
All right. Well, maybe we should close this down and maybe we can have some a little bit of more supporter only talk and learn more about what you're doing with the disabled and just what your TV work and all that kind of stuff. So if people want to hear that additional stuff, that's patreon.com/philosophyimprov. Otherwise, we'll see. Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to say, if you stick around for supporters only, I'm going to share a little bit about how I used improv recently on General Hospital and why improv is good for everybody.
Whoa.
That bird's taking a dump again.
Thanks for listening to the show. Learn more at philosophyimprov.com. You can hear more with BJ in our post-game segment. That is at the end of the ad-free supporter version of this episode. You can get all the supporter versions, set up your feed to hear these ad-free henceforth at patreon.com/philosophyimprov. Philosophy vs. Improv is a member of the Partially Examined Life family of podcasts. Check out my other shows at partiallyexaminedlife.com. Bankrupt! 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 Bankrupt!